Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm going to just say this. You can put me in any situation, I'm always figured out. I feel like all my life I've been going through adversity, and I know in the NBA it's going to be even more. So if I come in and get drafted, how high, how low, if I don't play, I'm going to still be fighting in practice. I'm going to do what I have to do, and I'm going to get on the court eventually.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. That's Dalen Terry. That is the Bulls' 18th overall draft pick, and he came from Arizona. And the man who recruited him there is Sean Miller, back at Xavier, plotting the embarrassment of my Loyola Ramblers in the A-10. But Coach, it's a joy to welcome you to the Score Hotline, which is presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. And, you know, obviously you recruited this kid to Arizona, and, you know, we're not sure what kind of player he is. And we just talked to Arturis Karnišovas, and he told us that competitiveness is something that they really look for. And seemingly that is one of the attractive qualities that they saw in Dalen Terry.
Yeah, you know, I recruited Dalen, but, you know, because he's from Phoenix and we were at Arizona, obviously very familiar with him as far back as when Dalen would have been in 10th grade. And then Coach Dalen during the pandemic, which was hard on everybody, especially an incoming freshman. But Arturis is exactly right. Among the many players that I've crossed paths with during my time as a coach, and really in the 12 years that I was in Arizona, I don't think I ever coached somebody that had a better competitive spirit than Dalen Terry. And, you know, people throw that around sometimes as if it's the norm. His competitive spirit is abnormal. It's something that in every drill and in everything that he does, he competes to try to be the best. And I think along with that comes his development, right? So, you know, it's like who he is today and who will be 2-3 years from now, I think will continually head the right direction, because part of his competitive spirit is just his unbelievable will to improve and work on his game.
Sean, let's go back to that recruiting. Obviously, the program spoke for itself at Arizona, but you're talking about a kid from Phoenix who was a ball boy for Arizona State. Wasn't that the case? So was there any convincing you had to do there? Were there other – how many other programs were involved in the recruitment of Dalen Terry?
You know, Dalen was not a highly recruited player. I mean, he was. He had plenty of choices, but, you know, by today's standards, especially for an NBA first-round pick, you know, he was not a high school McDonald's All-American. Dalen tried out for a Team USA team, and I think he might have been the last cut, but he didn't make the USA team. So, you know, again, back to his pedigree, you know, he's been fighting and scratching and clawing really since middle school. And part of his attraction to Arizona was simply that he wanted to go to a place that would bring out the best in him. You know, he never really asked the questions, am I going to start? Am I going to play? It was just like, this is a place that has developed a lot of players. You're a coach that's had other players that have left and become a part of the NBA. I want that. I want to be a part of that. And again, back to his competitive spirit, you know, him as a player, you know, he's he's not a guy that's looking to score. He's not a volume shooter. Whatever role you need from him, he can really do. He defends. He's an incredible passer for somebody who's 6'7". He's kind of like the jack of all trades, and you could put him with any group on the court, and I think he can function. You know, the other thing, and I'm sure you guys know this through your research, he's very, very young. I mean, he is. He was one of the youngest players that we ever recruited. You know, he could have easily, when he was a freshman at Arizona, been a senior in high school. And again, back to his development, I think the best is yet to come for him.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because we kept hearing from people that had he gone back to school, had he played another year of college, he could have probably been a higher draft pick. You know, he was a surprise 18th pick. A lot of people thought he'd go in the 20s, but maybe he could have gotten in the lottery if he had been a guy that was scoring and leading a team and doing other things than being what a lot of people describe as a glue guy.
Yeah, you know, maybe, maybe not. You know, I will say it's hard to argue with the choice that he made simply because he's the 18th pick in the draft. And look, the Chicago Bulls have a great organization. You know, Arturas, I'm good friends with Billy Donovan. I think that, you know, looking at Io and some of the things that he was able to do as a rookie who sometimes was underrated leaving Illinois, and just kind of looking at the productivity and the impact he had, you're going to get some of those same qualities from Daylon. Daylon is 6'7". He's very young. He is a great competitor. He can defend. He can pass. There's a lot of different things he brings to the court other than just scoring. And I think his shooting, if you would have seen where he came from to who he is today, I think, again, it speaks volumes for his work ethic. He will become a capable three-point shooter. I don't think that'll ever be his thing, but he'll be the furthest from somebody that can't make an open shot. He's already gotten to that point, and I think that's the last part of his game over the next couple of years that will really emerge. And when that does, I think Daylon will be a longtime NBA player. I can't say enough about his work ethic, the type of kid he is. If you guys interview him and you talk to him, he brings a smile to your face. And it's not something he's just doing on your radio show. It's who he is. Like, when he's a part of practice in your locker room on a trip, you feel his presence in an incredibly positive way. And it's a gift he has.
Sean, we know you coached against Billy Donovan when he was at Florida, and coached with him, I think, is one of the Team USA under-19 squads. I think you were on Billy's staff, so the relationship goes back a while. Knowing him as well as you do, what is it about his coaching style that you think will bring out the best in Daylon, and would you have any advice for your buddy?
Well, you know, Billy speaks for himself, but I would say that Billy's gift among many that he has as a coach is just his ability to connect with people and players. I mean, he really looks at it as being able to bring out the best in the people that he coaches, and especially somebody young and who's such a willing learner like a Daylon Terry. I think that connection will be there from day one. I have no doubt about it.
Do you think that he could be on a two-way contract? Do you think that he's a guy that could benefit from playing in the G League and learning to score more? Or will he make too much of an impact as an agent of chaos on defense and disrupting a backcourt to be able to not be used in the NBA?
You know, I can't really speak on it just because, you know, I don't know the inner workings of who they're counting on in Chicago and, you know, where they really value Daylon. I'll tell you this, though. His ability to impact the game isn't about scoring. His vision as a passer, his ability, he's a smart, very intelligent player. Defensively, he'll impact the game right away. Like, his alarms, I mean, Daylon's at a 7-foot wingspan, a 6'7" height, and a very good ball handler and passer. Defensively, you know, in transition, just making people better, just understanding his role. Those are things he shows up ready and able to do from day one. So again, when you ask me about him, I'd say, you know, 12 years at Arizona, we had quite a few guys that have left some first and second round picks, and some have done better than others in the NBA. What I'll tell you is, put them all together in a room, the best competitor is Daylon.
Wow.
And I will stand by that, and I think that right there will carry him far, and I think it's an element he'll bring to the Bulls right away.
That's quite a statement, Sean, and I wonder if coaches hate comparisons. I mean, the media, we kind of live off them. So I think when you look at, certainly there's no comparison to his competitive level and spirit and the things that you referenced there. On the court, stylistically, is there somebody that comes to mind that you've coached or watched that when we see him play, we'll think that's an obvious comp?
Sean Livingston and Will Barton, you know, just in terms of their body type and their skill set in terms of being able to impact the game in a lot of ways. You know, Sean Livingston's ability to pass and dribble at his height just made him the ultimate team player. Those guys jump out for me. Obviously, I know college a lot better than I do the NBA, but, you know, his size, he walks in the door. You know, Daylon's not 6'4", wanting to be 6'7". He's 6'7" with very, very long arms. And again, back to his development, I think when he came to us at Arizona, he might have weighed in the 170s, if you can imagine that. So, you know, physically, just look at how his body has changed in the couple of years he's been in college. I think that change will continue over the next year or two. And as he fills out and becomes, you know, really a man, I think that some of the things he does well on the court, he'll do even better.
Yeah, I you know, that is really impressive to hear you say that, honestly. And I think that when we talk about so-called glue guys, you know, you have to subjugate your ego to a certain extent to try to help other people be their best. And, you know, oftentimes that is a point guard. Oftentimes that's a point forward in the NBA. He can pass the ball. How is his handle?
He can handle the ball really well. You know, I would say that especially kind of as that secondary ball handler, mm-hmm. in the way the NBA is today, where he's going to be on the court with others that can handle and make decisions. I think that's really where he stands out. But if you watched Arizona play this year, Tommy Lloyd was the coach, and him and his staff did a great job coaching the team and developing the players. I was not the coach this past year, but I did know the inner workings of that group just simply because, you know, I coached them a year earlier, recruited a lot of them. But, you know, Daylon brought out the best in each and every one of the players he played with. Like, Koloko was a better player when Daylon was on the court. Ben Mathurin benefited from Daylon being on the court. Their point guard, Kerr Kriisa, you know, very good player in his own right. Daylon took pressure off of him. And defensively, you know, he's one of the best players probably that played in college basketball when you consider just the impact he has on the defensive end as well. He's also very smart. And, again, when you have somebody who's talented, smart, great competitor and young, you know, we can sometimes get caught up in shooting and numbers and whatever. There's always a place on an NBA roster for somebody who's wired like Daylon. And I in particular think the way the Bulls organization is building their program, the teams of the future, that he'll be a really good fit.
I read one scouting report, Sean, where it said that he was actually maybe defensively better when he was guarding on the ball with maybe point guards that were smaller than he was, which just seemed a little mm-hmm. bit unusual. And then I saw another report reference the way that he could guard a three if you needed him to shut somebody down, if that were the case. How valuable is that versatility defensively? And do you think that he has one area where he is better at than the other?
No, I think he can do a lot of different things on defense. And look, he's really improved. Like day one, you know, when I was coaching Daylon, everybody wore a mask and the pandemic was, you know, still kind of alive. And he was really thin. You know, he was the learning curve. He was learning. But, you know, what you figure out coaching these guys is like who learns quick, you know, who improves in a big way. Others, sometimes it's more baby steps. With Daylon, it was always big leaps. You know, you did a drill, he figures the drill out. Then he competes. You know, just you challenge him in an area to improve. He really takes it upon himself to improve that area. Like, he's very receptive to coaching. It's never about his feelings getting hurt or him taking it personal. He really looks at it for what it is. You know, he wanted to be an NBA player. Now he wants to be an NBA player that has a career and impacts his team. And I think whatever you ask of him to do, he'll be able to do. And as you guys know even better than me, the NBA game has changed so much over the last even 5 years, 10 years. It's almost a completely different style. The switching part of it, like being able to switch and guard a variety of different people, like the Boston Celtics have a roster that I think really is adept at being able to switch and not let the offense take advantage of those switches. Daylen is that guy. You know, he's 6'7", again, very long arms, smart, has great instincts on defense. He can switch guard a variety of different players, which I think fits the NBA style.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. You know, the idea that you're 6'7", but you got a 7'1" wingspan. I mean, that is insane. And I would imagine that he's sitting in passing lanes while he's actually defending someone because of that length.
Yep, sure. And a lot of that this year, whether it's taking a defensive rebound and pushing it, being the point guard and making great decisions, getting in the passing lane, like you said, and disrupting, stealing, deflecting. And then sometimes it's just covering the other team's really good player, in which that mentality that he has, he's always embraced that. But, you know, I heard the snippet of his interview that you played before I came on. He talked about he's had to fight for everything. I go back to where he began. Daylen wasn't a McDonald's All-American. He's not a gold medalist who's made all these young Team USA teams growing up. He's had to really scratch and claw, and he's been under the radar. Even when we recruited him, I think people, you know, hey, good get, but there wasn't a lot of fanfare because we got Daylen Terry. But he just keeps fighting and keeps working. And I think that indomitable will just has won out for him, and it's not going to leave anytime soon.
Coach, thanks a ton. Really appreciate all the insights.
Thanks, Sean.
Yep, no problem. Glad to be on. Thank you, guys.
That is the Xavier head basketball coach, Sean Miller. He recruited Daylen Terry to Arizona. He said, and think about the players we're talking about.
Think about the program we're talking about.
The most competitive player, if you lined all those guys up, everybody that came out of Arizona and went into the NBA under Sean Miller in a dozen years,
you know,
my God.
And that's high praise indeed. And I think that, yeah, you know, people on the text line or whoever, you're not going to be overjoyed with the obvious 20 points and 5 assists that Daylen Terry is going to offer you immediately or ever. But he is one of those guys because of his makeup and because of his athleticism and versatility. You want part of your organization. And however he fits into the picture, we know what they're doing now. I think the more you hear, the more you like.
312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. It's Molly and Haw on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Mornings with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
And he got him. Mullins. Mancini is out. Back-to-back K's to start it.
Another 1-2. Swing and a miss. Three strikeouts. Cease gets the side and looked nasty doing it. Full count pitch. Swing and a miss. He got him. Dylan battles back for strikeout number 8.
Foul tip, strike 3 for number 9. 3-2 coming. He struck him out on a curveball. Double digits for Dylan.
Tondero away from first. Here's the pitch. And a check swing. He went! Strikeout number 13 for Dylan Cease. Another new career high.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Yeah, how about that? Dylan Cease was just phenomenal yesterday. A new career high of 13 strikeouts. 7 innings pitched. You don't see a lot of guys going 7 innings. And 13 Ks over 7 innings. He, he gave up a really good portion of his stuff there. And man, it was that good. He gave up a run, and that was it.
Yeah, and he needs to be that good if the Sox are going to be this kind of team. I mean, if they're not going to get the consistency we thought out of the rotation, and if they're not going to hit home runs, they're like 25th in Major League Baseball in home runs. And Gavin Sheets supplied the power yesterday. Gavin Sheets, who came up from the minors, is sort of like accidentally he's here. And so he is your power source. They need to start hitting home runs. They need to start catching the ball. They need to start doing the things. One victory over the Orioles to salvage one win in that series is not going to remove all the questions. But Dylan Cease, yeah, he's dealing, and he's on his way, I think, to being on the All-Star team. He's that good so far.
Yeah, he's been really good. I would say that Gavin Sheets was demoted because he wasn't playing well enough, and then emergency kind of call up, and it's good to see him hit a two-run homer. What did you think about all the infield singles and all the kind of barely getting the ball out of the infield that's going on with him?
Well, it's hard to know what is the cause of that. I mean, Jake Berger has a bunch of infield singles as well, and he hits for power pretty well. I don't know what the connection is there. I just know that the Sox have way too many singles and not enough home runs.
Yeah.
And this is a team that was supposed to be the – offensive juggernaut, I think, as some people have referred to them at the beginning of the season. Maybe that'll change when Mancada comes back or Grandal comes back or everybody gets healthy. But
Aloy, that's 40 homers right there, right? I mean, that's a lot of homers. Aloy, Mancada has done nothing, as you say. Grandal hasn't done much. I'm trying to think of who I thought was going to hit more homers. I suppose Abreu. Yeah.
Luis Robert.
Yeah, Luis Robert
didn't
hit a home run.
When you talk about the optimism of April, we're talking about these guys as 30-plus home run guys, right? You think, well, Robert can do that. Aloy can do that. Look at Abreu. You pencil him in for that many. Mancada.
Vaughn.
Andrew Vaughn, I think.
He could hit 30 homers.
He could hit 30 homers in over time, I think. Eventually, he could be that guy. Right now, I think he's so focused on being
a line drive hitter.
A homer happens here and there. I think that he's – whatever he's doing, don't change it. Whatever he has discovered, keep finding it, because this is your most consistent hitter and the most productive hitter, I think, in MLB over the last 15 days. He has more hits than anybody else in the game.
Yeah, the White Sox are so frustrating. They're just so frustrating because they can't score any runs, because their whole team is injured, because they are they're just not very good. They're well below 500, and you know, you thought there was a chance to crawl above that mark, and I don't even know what to expect. They're heading to the West Coast. They got the Angels up next, and you know, I don't know what to expect from them. I don't know what to expect from them in San Francisco. It's a pretty good team. I just you know, I'm glad they're starting at 8:30 at night. How's that?
Well, the Angels are a team you should take advantage of. As good as they are talent-wise, they have had their struggles, or else they wouldn't have had to have fired Joe Maddon, their manager. So tonight, Giolito and Syndergaard are the scheduled pitchers. Big night for the White Sox. Big night for Lucas Giolito.
Boy, has he been god-awful.
He's in L.A.
Yep.
He's back in California.
That's right.
He has struggled. Now he's in a comfortable environment. You hope that however you want to look at it, you can rationalize something about why this is an opportunity for him to stop the bleeding, because it's been bad. And it's been as bad of a five-game stretch as he has ever endured as a major leaguer. So you don't want him to continue that downward spiral. You'd like to see him have a big start tonight.
Well, you know, we had a texter check in and say, why is he back to being the worst pitcher in baseball again? Because remember, he was really bad, and then he fixed himself.
How could you forget with that commercial?
Yeah.
Playing incessantly.
Well,
worst pitcher in baseball.
Yeah. Not too good
right
now.
Might not want to play that anymore, because it just is a reminder that he has been the worst pitcher on the White Sox in terms of the starting rotation the last month or so.
So Dylan Cease and Michael Kopech and Johnny Picasso and Lance Lynn and Lucas Giolito. Is he the worst of that bunch?
He's your fifth starter right now.
Okay.
He's not your ace. He's closer to being the fifth starter than he is your ace.
Okay.
Right now you're looking at Cease number one, Kopech number two. I think Lance Lynn probably third. Cueto has probably earned more respect than that indicates, but I think he still is your fourth guy. And Giolito, based on the last five starts, is, you know, your fifth starter.
I can't imagine that they get into a position that they would be playing in the postseason if he doesn't pick it up. But let's just say everybody else is really good and he's still not good. I mean, can you imagine us having a conversation of him not being on that first round roster?
Wow.
Right? Like, I'm saying, like, Dallas Keuchel, right, was not on the roster.
He could get Keuchel'd off the playoff roster.
Off the playoff. Could you imagine that? That he would not be on the playoff roster?
I think you answered the question when you asked it. If we're going to be having these conversations about where Lucas Giolito fits into the playoff equation, it probably suggests that he pitches better in the second half to put themselves in a position to close the ground in the division and maybe limp into the playoffs. Because right now it just feels like they will be limping into the postseason, regardless of how they want to frame it. And somebody I heard over the weekend talking about, well, it's the reverse of last year. They're going to flirt with 500 in the first part of the season, and then run away with it in the second. Last year was the opposite. Okay. It's getting late pretty early.
Yeah, it's getting late pretty early. I like it.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, that sounds great. Let's get everyone back. Okay, let's go. We have a texter wondering, any Angels suspended yet? They had a brouhaha, if you will.
Donnybrook, as John Heyman called it. I like that.
That's right.
I prefer Donnybrook. But brouhaha, very good. Melee, another good way to describe it. Skirmish.
Love a good melee.
A good skirmish as well. So you think that that's going to help the Sox? I think whatever happens in terms of discipline, it's going to be appealed, right?
Yeah, I agree. But, so, I mean, anything would help the Sox. Anything that you can get to help the Sox, they'll take.
All I know is if Giolito comes in high and tight on some Angel hitters tonight and you see Anthony Rendon running at you with a cast, you might want to go the other way. That guy's dangerous.
That's pretty scary.
I mean, trying to earn his paycheck, I guess.
Well, that's not going to happen. Then that's the highest paid bouncer in California. I mean, goodness sakes. That guy. What's he doing inciting that kind of violence when he can't even play?
Well, I guess if he gets suspended, he's already kind of suspended,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So it's like it doesn't hurt the team. So he's the muscle because he can't be on the field. So he'll take care of it. If you want to like kind of go conspiracy theory here, I got this because I'm already on the sidelines. So I'll be the one throwing my weight around.
Where's the guy with the
and
cast?
And the fine is no big deal because I got more money than I would know what to do with.
He could pay the other players' fines for them. Actually, he should. That's probably a good idea. If they get fined, they should just take it out of Rendon's paycheck because he did not make the situation better. He made it worse. That was a brouhaha.
Okay, so we know it's Giolito tonight. We know that it's Johnny Cueto on Tuesday, and we know it's Michael Kopech. And then you got Noah Syndergaard tonight. They've got the TBD on Tuesday. Let's hope he's suspended. And Shohei Ohtani will be starting Wednesday's game.
See, that's
against
worth
Michael
staying
Kopech.
Up. Yeah, that's worth staying up for. Mm-hmm. Wednesday night, right? That's a late one.
Yep.
Kopech, Ohtani, come on. It doesn't get much better than that in terms of box office.
Yeah. Kopech, 2.59 ERA with 57 strikeouts. Ohtani, 2.90 ERA with 90 strikeouts.
Talk about a two-way player.
Yeah.
And we talk about that all the time with basketball. But, boy, Ohtani against Kopech. You want to see the Sox rough him up. But that could be one of those real fast-paced games, a lot of strikeouts. That's fun. It's a fun series. That's a great ballpark, too. So then they go from there to San Francisco.
San Francisco.
They go to Northern California, and the Yerminator is waiting for them there to exact his revenge. He was activated on Sunday. And also Carlos Rodon, who could conceivably pitch against the White Sox, but they would have to move him up a day.
He's scheduled to pitch on the Monday, a week from today. Could he potentially pitch on Sunday so he could show the White Sox
they have a day off.
What?
Yeah,
yes. And if he did that, then, you know, I mean, look, he could injure himself for the rest of the year. Are we being honest, or are we just going to pretend that doesn't happen?
I would think somebody in San Francisco would talk Carlos Rodon out of that scenario. As juicy as it sounds, as fun as it would be, I guess, to see him pitch against his former teammates, I don't think that you would want to miss out on a chance to give him extra rest if you're the Giants, right?
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. It's easy for us from this vantage point to tell them how to deal with the San Francisco Giants. I'd love to go to that series. I think that's a great ballpark. There's a great place across the street where I ran into some Sox fans that were up there for a series. I think there'll be a lot of kind of California-based Sox fans that show up for that one.
Yeah, I like that ballpark. I really like, and I don't know why, I do also like the Angels ballpark. I like that.
Do you?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun visiting there when the Sox were back in 2005. But
do you go
in
to
recent trips,
Disneyland?
Yeah, I've been to Disneyland there.
It's right there.
Of course, it's right there.
It's not like far.
Not that far away.
No,
I think the Cubs opened the season there a couple years ago. Might have been either right after the World Series championship or right around in that era.
I think it was the year after.
Yeah, Joe Maddon used to have a restaurant out there, I believe. Or no, a home. He had a home. That's right. He lived in Anaheim area.
You ate at his house?
I did not eat at his house. Oh. I went to his favorite restaurant. I remember doing a column there in his neighborhood and talking to people about, you know, what kind of neighbor Joe was. Good neighbor.
Imagine that, a Chicago team starting the baseball season in California where it's not going to be 48 degrees.
But there,
brilliant.
There could be an earthquake.
There could be an earthquake. Yeah.
The old shake at the stick.
Yeah. I was in Disneyland in Anaheim, and an earthquake hit. It was kind of wild.
You sure it was an earthquake and not just a really good ride?
No, but you know what was funny is I was with my family, and it was myself and my youngest. It was my youngest, then me, then my other two, and then my wife. And everything was kind of shaken, and they turned. But we were at that, what is it, you know, the Muppets ride, okay? So it's like you go in, and it's in 4D, so they do shake, and they spray you with water at one point. I looked over, and I see my wife and the other two leaving, and I turned to Mary, and I'm like, why are they going? Where are they going? like, I didn't realize that the, you know, I knew the lights had come on, but I didn't know if that was part of the show or not. You know what I mean? And they were already outside. They didn't tell us. So we then kind of went after them. Like, where are you guys going? Like, there's an earthquake. Like, really? Is there an earthquake? So we ended up going to the hotel, and it was, you know, the kids were little. And then the next morning we were discussing whether or not we should stay because we had another day at Disney or we should go someplace else. And we were sitting on the balcony having coffee, talking it over. We didn't want the kids to hear us. And there was an aftershock, and we just walked in, packed the kids up, and got the hell out of there. It was
and
like
you left.
I'm David. We were sitting on a balcony, shaking in a Disney hotel.
Not
okay,
good.
Let's go.
Yeah, but did you leave the hotel?
We checked out and left.
Yeah,
yeah.
Back to the Midwest where it's safe, and you only have to worry about tornadoes.
We went someplace else. We just drove elsewhere. But it was pretty funny. We did not want to stick around. We ended up going back and using the last day.
People live out there, get used to it.
Yeah.
Kind of casual about it, almost too casual sometimes.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I would want
I'm just saying, cool.
It would not describe my reaction to an earthquake, but
it was
tolerable.
It was kind of out of your control, and there was nothing you could do about it. And it was like, I kept calling my buddy in Chicago, and I'm like, am I safe? Do I stand in a doorway? Like, what am I supposed to do? And he was just like, well, it's a 4.8, and it happened over here. And where you're located, there aren't a fault. Like, he had the whole thing down. So I figured they would have alerted us.
Earthquake veteran.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a guy that knows stuff. All right. We've got, I believe, a couple of our colleagues coming in here. I'm pretty sure it's Dan Bernstein and Lawrence Holmes. Is that accurate?
I think that is accurate.
That's great. We'll get a chance to talk to them next. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.